Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking franchise entrepreneurs to one one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. With nearly 1,300 salons located throughout North America, fantastic Sam's Hair Salons is the world's largest full-service hair franchise with an excellent reputation for providing quality hair care services for the entire family. We're meeting with Scott Colombo, and Scott is the CEO for Fantastic Sam's, and also franchisee for the Fantastic Sam's franchise opportunity, Rich Upson. And that's coming up on segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneurs one one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchise owners and unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing well today, Marty. So far, how about you? How's your week?
Good. It's been a cold week. It's not so nice. Lots of icicles, and it's not even snow anymore, Don. It's ice. You know, it's
right.
You know, part of living up in the Northeast, right? You're going through the same thing down there, so.
Yeah, it's a tough winter, just like last year. We had two tough winters in a row, and it's only halfway over.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you excited for the Super Bowl?
Well, we're having some people over our house. We're having a Super Bowl party, so I would have liked for the Giants to get in there, but
the
way it goes.
Or even the Jets, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if,
a little more local excitement, yeah, but it'll be a good game. It's
exactly.
Fun. It's fun watching the new commercials and being with friends.
Yeah, well, now that I'm out in Pennsylvania, I have to go for Pittsburgh, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
Actually, New York is closer to where I am in Pennsylvania than Pittsburgh is. But, you know, it should be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to it. You know, and franchising, Don, is always involved in the Super Bowl as well, isn't it? I mean, you'll see advertisers like, I guess we'll see Subway, I suspect.
Right.
This year, I know they usually sponsor a lot of shows. I know Burger King was involved to some capacity in previous years, in the 4 years we've been doing the show as well. So
maybe Dunkin' Donuts. But that's interesting. Yeah, we should count up the number of commercials we see that are franchise businesses.
That's a good idea. You know, and those commercials are usually fantastic, so we'll have to keep our eye on that. So it should be an interesting game. Our last show, though, we met with Greg Carafello of Cartridge World. And Cartridge World, single business, is refilling and remanufacturing of printer cartridges. Their customers are offered an alternative to purchasing very expensive new printer cartridges, resulting in huge savings. Greg is a fantastic speaker. I love having him on the show. I think this was our second time having Greg on the show. And
right.
He really presents it in an intelligent manner, you know. Makes a lot of sense when he's talking about Cartridge World. I've always loved this model, having the dual streams of income where you can sell business to business and you can sell business to consumer.
Right.
It seems like this is becoming more popular, you know. So what are your thoughts on last week? Anything stand out? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, we always talk about having guests back on and mm-hmm. companies to do a follow-up. And this was interesting because it had been a couple of years and they had some pretty big changes at Cartridge World. I thought one big thing is not having the franchisee have to change the toner cartridge. I guess it's done out of main hub or headquarters, which allows mm-hmm. the franchisee to concentrate in other areas like building sales and customer service and so forth. So I thought that was a real big change, a real positive change.
For franchisees.
And I think they're bigger, better, more well known. It's Greg's spearheading that, and so that's what we always try to do on the show.
Right.
And I'm not sure how many times we've done it. We've probably had we've had a good amount of companies back on, like even today's show, Fantastic Sam's.
Yeah.
We met with a couple area developers here locally. Like what you said, it was more than 3 years ago.
I think it was 4 years ago. I think it was the third show we ever did. It was in, if I look on the calendar, it was in 2006, I think
yeah.
we did that show.
Right.
Long time ago.
Right.
4 years we've been doing it, and it seems like yesterday that we had Fantastic Sam's on the show. And it's always fun to get to watch the growth, you know, when someone comes back on the show, you know,
right.
and you discuss the changes that have taken place over the last 4 years. Greg said something interesting. You know, he was saying that, you know, and I agree with him, you know, that a recession is really, I think, one of the best times to get into, let's say, a franchise or even a business, you know, sometimes, particularly a franchise. Landlords are giving some great deals right now, and I think a lot of times landlords feel a little more comfortable giving a deal to like someone like a Cartridge World or even like let's say a Fantastic Sam's because they're recognizable names and they're usually there in that location for a long time. It's usually sometimes 5-10 years, you know. So they must make great clients from a landlord capacity, and there's some really great
right.
deals being made out there right now too as well. So. And I think this is a great opportunity for someone perhaps, like let's say, with like a business background, you know, a background in business. Perhaps they were let go from corporate America. And
right.
Which you seem would be like a nice match, you know, or a nice segue into the next chapter of your life if you don't want to go back to corporate America. You know, Greg is very blunt, you know, saying, you know, when you're 50 years old, it's pretty difficult to get back in there, isn't it, sometimes? I mean,
yeah.
You know, so...
And also, they brought back their total investment size. That was, I guess, with maybe lower build out. Looks like they cut costs in other areas, so it's even a little less expensive to invest in a cartridge roll compared to a few years ago.
Yeah, it's unusual, isn't it? You know, to see the cost actually go down,
right,
than up. I mean, typically, I think we usually see it go up. So yeah, it's great show. And again, we're going to continue to keep our eyes on them and, again, have Greg back again as they continue to grow,
Right.
So, as you're saying, we have a great show today, too. I think everyone knows this particular franchise, don't they? Fantastic Sam's.
Right, Scott Calabuano and then a franchisee in Texas. So, interested to hear their story. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and again, it's always fun having the franchisee on the show as well, Don, because, again, there's so many franchise opportunities out there. I guess one of our questions for Rich is, why Fantastic Sam's? Why this particular industry? Why franchising,
Right. Yeah.
So that's always great. And I know you had some interesting articles. I know you were up late last night. You said you were scanning the internet for some...
Yeah, didn't get any sleep last night. that's a dedication I have to franchise interviews. You're right.
I sure do.
Here's something out of Colorado by David Young. Caregiver turns layoff into rewarding new career. Mark Stanley invested 30 years of his life, Marty, into the cement and concrete company, only to be laid off unexpectedly and left to care for his widowed mother. He didn't know at the time that caring for his elderly mother would lead to his next career. The 52-year-old Colorado resident didn't know what to do in December 2008 when he lost his job. This is kind of common. What you just had mentioned, what Greg had said, sometimes you're
right.
50 in your early 50s and something unexpectedly happens. What do you do at that point? Most people told him to get back to work as soon as possible in his field, but he took a pause. Rather than jump headfirst into another manufacturing job, Stanley decided to take some time to get perspective. He was able to narrowly survive with his severance pay, savings, and his wife's income. In April of 2009, shortly after losing his job, unfortunately his father died. And his mother, who has an illness, had to move in with him. She was unable to care for herself. While looking for a job, Stanley soon realized how competitive the market was during the height of the Great Recession. Rather than take a lower-paying job, he started looking into opening his own business by the franchise route. Jobs were pretty limited. It was tough, he says. He didn't want to go on unemployment. If I make half of what I used to make, I might as well work for myself, he said. While researching potential business options, he stumbled across Home Helpers, a franchise that offers caregivers who provide clients with non-medical care and companionship. Caring for his mother at the time, he was acutely aware of how useful such a service could be to the elderly and their families. This year alone, Marty, an estimated 10,000 people per day will turn 65 years old, he says, citing the built-in client base he has waiting for him as the baby boomer generation ages.
Wow.
And he soon after launched his franchise, and that was kind of an interesting story because here he's caring for his own mother. Had some tough things happen with his parents. He starts looking for a business, and he started thinking, why don't I do something like this?
Yeah. Those numbers are amazing, too, aren't they, Don, when you look at them? The
right.
Market size. This industry, just in general, is fascinating to me. It just
right.
keeps getting bigger and bigger. There's a lot more competition out there today, of course, than it was 11 years ago. I remember a handful of senior care franchises, 11 years ago. And today it seems like there's a lot more. I think we might have even had, I don't know if you remember this, Home Helpers on the show. Did we have
right.
these guys on the show or not?
We've had a few of these companies on in the past.
We've had four
yeah.
of them, yeah, on the
right.
show. And, all of them, I think, will offer something a little different than the others. But, just as far as the industry goes, great industry.
Right. Yeah, so, and the article went on talking about just the they're going to be seeing growth in the franchise industry for this year. We've gone over some stats over the last few weeks. There's over 35 million people in the country who are age 65 or older. So that's,
yeah, wow.
We've talked about this particular demographic and why these type of franchises have become so popular. Because it's, you know, it's a service. It's, you know, it's a need. Most people are more comfortable living from home. It's a lot cheaper. The person is happier. So I can see why these type of franchises, this particular service, has really done well.
Yeah, I remember there was a survey out there. One of our guests was mentioning it was like, I think it was like in the 90%. But you're right, Don. Most people would rather stay home than go to a nursing home, you know, if given a choice.
Right.
Yeah. I thought the number was like 95% or 98%. It was a crazy number. But, it does make sense. And I think it's one of those, you know, what I've always liked about that particular industry is that I think it's a feel-good franchise opportunity. You know, it's one of those things I think where, yes, you have the opportunity to make a nice amount of money and make a living, but I think you're also doing something great at the end of the day, too. You know, and again, you have to ask yourself as the prospective franchisee when you're looking, does that sound like something you might be interested in doing? You know, it's
right.
You have to ask those deep-rooted questions, don't you?
Right.
And say, well, you know, what do I want this franchise to do for me?
And it kind of leads me into my next article here by Ron Consolino. This is from the Old Security Financial Group, the Chronicle. Ask plenty of questions if weighing a franchise. And a little Q&A. Any advice on franchising as a way to satisfy my small business ownership ambition? And it says, franchisors provide a proven successful structure, base, and system to allow franchisees from having to start from scratch. Franchisors also provide continuing guidance, innovations, marketing materials. According to the IFA, franchising opportunities expand almost daily. With these advantages, the franchising failure rate is much lower than that of an independent business. You still have many of the same risks and challenges of an independent business, though. The franchisee still must have the necessary skills, commitment, and drive to make the franchise successful, says Hassan Humani, president of Murphy's Deli Franchising. He also advises that, as with any other kind of small business, you must prepare as though as a thorough, well-crafted business plan to map your franchise's growth strategy. Preparing a business plan will help you to determine where you want to go and the best way to get there. You'll also be able to set experience and performance milestones for steps such as purchasing additional franchises. Franchise owners have no special legal protection after they purchase the business. The FDD is prepared by the franchisor and informs the buyer about the franchise before the sale, but afterward, you are legally required to abide by its rules and requirements.
Right.
So
very important.
We're both big fans of business plans, me being in the franchise financing industry where that's needed when someone's applying for a business loan. And on your end, with you being a professor and just in general, anytime, you know, getting into business, it's so important to have a business plan in general. You got to have your goals written down on what you want to do. And this was an interesting point. I mean, sometimes people aren't maybe going to think long term. They might think, okay, I'm going to buy a franchise, mm-hmm. open the first one. But you should kind of have a game plan on how many you want to open the first few years, and always put it in writing, and always be reviewing your short and long term goals.
Yeah. Remember, if you go back to Michael Gerber's great quote, people don't fail because they think too big. People fail because they think too small.
Right.
And I always think of that, you know, is just somebody who just wants to possibly say, okay, I just want to own one franchise unit. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I kind of think that, you know, even Greg was saying when we had him on the show last week, you know, how a lot of those franchisees, you know, they want to buy multi-unit franchises, you know. I mean, imagine owning like four of them in Manhattan, what that would be like, you know.
Right.
Put all the business there alone is just amazing. I think that's an excellent point, Don, and I'm glad that we always get back to the basics in the show as well. You know,
like even
so
the next point,
to get off track.
Right. In researching franchisors, visit their locations and examine their processes. Ask the owners if they would buy the franchise again. If the franchisor is providing enough support, it's the part of a franchise, you get ongoing support, but you know, make sure you ask the franchisees you're calling while you're doing your due diligence, is the head office, the franchisor, providing enough support, and if the experience is living up to their expectations. These relationships
yeah.
will also be helpful should you decide to move forward with the franchise purchase. So like
the
what we always do, we give good practical advice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the franchisees, I mean, they have no, you know, they don't make money by someone buying into a franchise. You know, and I think a lot of them are willing to share that information because they were in the same position once too, weren't they? You know,
right.
where probably someone was kind to perhaps help them out and answer questions originally in the beginning, you know, on a particular franchise. And, you know, so they were new as well, you know. So from what I've heard, in many cases, you know, a lot of franchisees are willing to share the information. And I don't think you want to just call just one or two, do you?
Right.
You know, try to call as many as possible. Julie Bennett, when she wrote the book, it was the Franchise Times book, which was fantastic, and I don't have it in front of me right now. I think she was mentioning that you should call like about, was it 80? I'm going to have to go back and look at the number. It was an amazing number. I said, my God, how long would that take?
Right.
You know, to call 80 franchisees, you know, and then make a decision from that. Because, again, you're going to hear different things. You know, the more people you talk to, you're going to hear different things. And, you know, then you have to make the decision at the end of the day. You know, is this for me or is it not for me? But going back to the article, asking the right questions, you have to know what questions to ask.
Right.
And we've mentioned them a lot in the show over the last 4 years, haven't we, on what questions those
yeah.
should be. Some of them are very deep questions.
Also, in part of the franchise disclosure document, franchise owners who decided not to continue on with the franchise, or you should try to give a call to if you can get their number, find out their information, or maybe who's no longer in the system. Why did they decide to not continue to stay with the franchise? Because most have 10-year agreements. You know, and it could
yes.
be a lot of reasons. They retired, they sold, or it, you know, they. There was no one to take the business over. Could be a lot of reasons, but you might want to try speaking to a few of those people. When we have a franchise system.
It could be personal.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say it could be health reasons, you know. I mean,
yeah,
maybe somebody wasn't, you know, they're, you know, 60 years old in it and something happened, you know, and they just couldn't. It's not always a bad thing if somebody hasn't continued with the franchise system, you know. But I think it's in someone's best interest to do everything they can to try and contact the past franchisees as well.
And when you have a franchise system with a couple hundred franchises, you know, not every single person is going to be gung-ho and say great things because, you know, everybody's different. And maybe sometimes people don't completely
mm-hmm.
follow the system and they haven't done as well, and maybe they're not as 100% high. That's why you have to really call several to get a good overall feel. Cause
yeah,
I mean,
it's not
a lot
for
of times,
everybody, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could come down to your, you know, to your local market and your location and how hard you work and how much you follow the system and being a little creative sometimes in your marketing, because I imagine you always want to maybe try other things in your local market marketing that might not be part of the normal franchise system advertising
mm-hmm.
and marketing plan. All important
right.
things.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and as Greg was saying last week, I mean, sometimes there's really no limit, you know. I mean, it's hard work. You know, the harder you work, of course, the more money you're going to make.
Right.
You know, and you always have somebody who does better in a system. You know, you have your, like, top franchisee, and there's always someone on the bottom. You know, and you ask yourself, why is that person on the bottom? You know, I think one of the reasons is probably that they simply don't follow the system, Don. You know, they should have
right.
never got into franchising. You know, when John Hayes, you know, says franchising isn't for most people, I remember the first time he said that was at one of the conferences. I think it was in Washington, D.C. First time I heard him present, I said, yeah, I was a little confused. I said, what do you mean it's not for everybody? You know, and sure enough, doing this now for 11 years makes a lot more sense today than it did back then, you know, when I first heard those words. So, yeah.
Right, probably one of the most
very
important questions,
yeah.
right, about, you know, it's at what level entrepreneur you want to be. If you want to make all your own decisions and be creative and do something new, franchising's not
mm-hmm.
the right fit. If you're fine with the model and you're willing to follow the system, you know, remember we had that guest on that time, Marty, who think maybe had a military background, or just in general, just had the right attitude coming in that, you know something, I don't want to have to spend time staying up late, speaking to all these different marketing and companies to market and advertise. I want to just follow the system, do exactly what they tell me. I don't want to do anything else. And that person was one of their better franchisees.
Yeah, I think that was Liberty Tax. I remember the quote was always brilliant. You know, he says, "I'm not creative." You know, he took an honest assessment. He said, "This is one of the things I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not creative. I don't want to invent anything. I just want to follow the system." And sure enough, he was the most successful, one of the most successful franchisees to Liberty Tax. You know, and when John Hewitt asked me, he said, "How did you do it?" He goes, "I just did what you told me to do." You know, and that was it.
Right.
It really is that simple. It's following the system that the franchisor has created. And you know what? You're going to be okay. So, it's a great article, Bob. You know, it's well done. Good choice for today's show.
Thanks.
So why don't we do this? I see our guest has called in. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2000. 877-877-877-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. There's nearly 1,300 salons located throughout North America. Fantastic Sam's Hair Salons, the world's largest full-service hair care franchise, an excellent reputation for providing quality hair care services to the entire family. And we have the privilege of meeting with the CEO of Fantastic Sam's, Scott Colombono, and also multi-unit franchisee, Rich Upson. Hey, Scott. Hey, Rich. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
On the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you. And joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson.
Yes,
hey, guys. Hey, Scott and Rich. Thanks
yeah.
for coming on the show. Rich, I was in San Antonio last year. There was a franchise show. You know, nice little city. You've been living there a while?
Yeah, we've been here for about 15 years.
Yeah, good. Went along
yeah,
the Riverwalk
really
and you know, did all that good stuff.
Yeah, of course, since we live here, we never go to the Riverwalk anymore. But, sort of
that's usually what happens.
You don't do it, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city. It's very nice place to live.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Scott, I thought I could start off with you. I know you have an interesting background. What were you doing before joining Fantastic Sam's, and how did you become the CEO of this brand?
Well, it's kind of a circuitous story. I've been CFO or CEO of three franchise concepts in the past, one in quick service restaurants, golf, believe it or not, and staffing. And as it turned out, I had met at an event the principal from the private equity firm that owns Fantastic Sam's, and here I am 5 years later.
That's fantastic. No pun intended. And how many... I guess, can you describe for our listeners, I mean, again, Don and I, of course, are very familiar with Fantastic Sam's being in franchising, but for our listeners, can you describe the system?
Well, you know, the system
Fantastic Sam's
system was started 36 years ago by Sam Ross, who was a barber at the time, and he felt that only dealing with men while hair salons did women just didn't make a lot of sense, and so he was one of the developers of the unisex hair salon business, which we've continued to offer as a model. So it's, you know, full service, convenient locations, no appointment necessary, and the affordable pricing model. But the way we're organized today is that we have in all major markets either a developing partner or the corporation itself develops the locations and then does the support with the owners like Rich. So, for example, in the Texas market, which encompasses New Mexico, Texas, parts of Louisiana, and Oklahoma, we have three region offices that have training facilities, that have certified region educators, and offer support on a one-on-one basis or in groups on a face-to-face training scenario. So we use the web and we use... other events to train, but we're really known throughout the industry for face-to-face training with our stylists, managers, and owners.
And Rich, is that part of what you sold you on Fantastic Sam's? Talk to us about how you got involved and heard about Fantastic Sam's and why'd you become a franchisee.
Well, it's a little bit of a long story, but let me just cut right to it. We went to a franchise expo in Houston when we decided we were going to do our own business, just to try to understand franchising and understand, you know, what was out there. And at that expo, we met a sister company of Fantastic Sam's, and through them we got introduced to Fantastic Sam's back in San Antonio. And we went through the process with them. It was pretty extensive at the time. They were
the region was qualifying us as well as us, you know, deciding if we were a fit for the region. So it was a two-way street.
Right.
But
right.
I would say the crucial thing that sold us was the fact that the people involved with the region were salon operators themselves, so they knew the business. They were right in San Antonio, and they were there to help us. And because everybody needs support eventually. I mean, we've done pretty well, but we've needed support along the way. And having people locally mm-hmm. who've run salons, who understand the business, we felt was the crucial thing that we could get from Fantastic Sam's that we couldn't necessarily get from other folks. So that was mm-hmm. the key thing that sold us.
Also, maybe the fact, I guess you were looking at long-term goals, the fact that you can open up multiple locations. How many stores do you own now? And I guess, have you followed what your initial goal was of having multiple locations?
Well, actually, we've exceeded it. When we signed up, we signed up for 5 salons. And along the way, things changed. Our daughter started working with us. She worked with us for, I think, about 4 years. And through that period, we decided, listen, we've got some more help here. We can do more, and we should do more because we wanted some more income, of course, to cover my daughter in the business. And so we have now grown to 8 salons, and we also own 2 additional licenses. So the plan would be to do 2 additional, which would get us to 10.
Wow, excellent.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's a great story, great testimony. What about this industry, Rich? Was there something about this? You know, Don and I always say it must be overwhelming today for someone, you know, like yourself or a prospective franchisee to start looking for a franchise. I mean, there's so much out there to choose from. How did you decide, like, on an industry? And of course, I see how you narrowed it down to Fantastic Sam's, but how did you start? I mean, was it going to franchise shows or just researching on the internet?
Actually, when we first started talking about it, I'd spent 30-some-odd years in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And when we decided, hey, you know, I wasn't having as much fun as I used to, and I was looking mm-hmm. for something that my wife and I could do together. The kids were, at the time, were in college and, you know, fixing to move on. So when we started looking at it, our first idea was, hey, let's just start our own business. And it took about a day before we realized, you know, we don't have any idea how to start. Not only did we not know how to start, we didn't know how to sustain a business. So right. So that's when we flipped over to franchising. And really, we hadn't done much on the internet before this franchise show was available in Houston. So we signed up for that, went over, and we met John Hayes, and they had a good crew there of very knowledgeable folks. And you're right. I mean, there were probably 30 franchise opportunities there. And, you know, we're looking at copy business and food businesses. There was pizza. There were sandwiches. There was, you know, hair cutter. There was the tax guys. And there was a whole array of things. And so we sat down and wrote out some criteria as to, you know, what we were looking for. And we needed a business that we could handle, you know, technologically, something relatively simple. We wanted a business that was a cash and credit kind of business. We didn't want to get into something where we would, you know, have one dominant customer maybe or have a lot of receivables. We wanted something that was recession resistant so that, you know, you wouldn't be doing good for a couple of years and then go in the tank.
Right.
We wanted to get something affordable so that we could own multiple locations so that we could spread our risk. We didn't want to just be in a one location, you know, something that we could only afford one location. And then, of course, we wanted a well-known brand, at least in our marketplace, and a company that had a great reputation. We didn't want to have to go in and try to clean up a mess. We wanted to go in and partner with people who were doing a great job. And we had, of course, been customers of Fantastic Sam's for a long time, so we knew the brand, we knew the reputation, we liked it. And then the final thing is when we met the folks and went through the process, we said, you know what, we can handle this, we can afford it, these guys will help us, and they've got a good plan. And so it was a pretty easy decision at the end because they met all of our criteria, and we felt really comfortable with them.
So, Scott, are you satisfied with that answer? Scott, are you satisfied with
Rich? I think Rich is a fantastic validation of the business model, and we try to duplicate Rich all across the United States, believe it or not.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's so many selling points, like Rich had just mentioned, the low cost, it's a brand name, you know, recession, you know, resistant or maybe recession-proof. Everybody has to get their hair cut. But at the same time, there's, you know, there's always going to be lots of competition. So, Scott, you know, how do you parlay, you know, the good things going on with Fantastic Sam's to really try to stay ahead of the competition and continue to grow?
Well, you know, there is a lot of competition, and it's really twofold. There are chains like ourselves that do the panoply of services, and that could be haircuts only or full service. And then, but you have the majority of your competition are your mom and pops, your independent salon owners. We very seldom compete head to head with the chains because you know, the chains in total are only about 10% of the market share. So it's really we're always competing with the independent salons.
Right.
And what we find is that on average, and this is these are industry statistics, is that an independent salon will do about 100 to 125 guests a week. Many of our salons do multiples of that on a regular basis. And so, the upside for your guest count, your average ticket, your ability to upsell color services, waxing services, styling services, plus our professional product line, Fantastic Sam's product line, you know, gives owners an ample opportunity to really expand their profit and loss statement, you know, in a favorable direction. But our advertising, I think, is one of the key things this year. Just as an aside, our all the advertising funds go into a discrete national advertising fund run by a board of which I'm only one of seven members on the board. It's totally independent of the company. And the charter of the National Advertising Fund is to create compelling collateral for the stores to make sure that the coupons, if we do those, or any kind of local store marketing, you know, is done in a branded way. So this year we've come out with mega kits, a whole new photography approach of high touch but affordable actions within our advertising. And so far as that, it's just started the rollout this past month. Everybody, all the owners have said, really, it's a step in the right direction for Fantastic Sam's. And you'll start to see it in all the national media, public relations that we do, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. So, you know, we follow the full gamut of support to the owners. And, you know, advertising is just one piece of that.
It's nice to have multiple income streams. I'm sure the franchisees are happy about, you know, all the stuff going on. And that's another good thing about being part of a franchise system is having that support and having someone else on, you know, having that teammate, so to speak.
Exactly. In many of our markets, like San Antonio, for example, where we have multi-unit owners, you know, they get together regularly with our staff to determine the way forward. What are they going to advertise in? You know, where is the next development site going to be? And so forth and so on, so that they're not competing with each other. They're competing only with the independents and other chain salons.
Right.
How about technology, Scott? How has technology played a role in Fantastic Sam's?
Really in two ways. One is that we suggest to our owners very strongly that they buy one of two manufacturers for their POS system and that they really embed themselves in the reports that come out of that so that they run their salons by the numbers, yet they create a culture of teamwork within the salon themselves. So, and then the second area where technology comes in is how we deliver our education and training. We do primarily face-to-face, But what we found is that with salons that are not in a major metropolitan area, they need the same level of support. So we do live webinars several times a month around the country. We do conference calls, if that's appropriate. And then from a use of the Internet, we have an intranet as well, which allows the franchise owners to both create their own advertising from the established advertising protocols and also download different things that they need for their salon, for example, operations manuals, MSDS sheets, which are the backgrounds on the products and so forth. And then many of our distributors that deliver the product to the salons will also have Internet ordering, so they make the ordering of products that much easier as well. But the nice thing about technology is that it's not going to cut hair. So, you know, you have to come into the salon. Our stylists are trained to cut hair, color, waxing, and styling services, and those will not be put out of business by the Internet.
Right. Good point.
That's true. That's true. Scott and Rich, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisors who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dream of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with the CEO, it's a fantastic Sam's opportunity, Scott Colombo, and we're also meeting with multi-unit franchisee, Rich Upson. And Don, I think you're up.
Hey, Rich, maybe tell us how the training process went. Then maybe you can follow it up, Scott, with some of the latest things Fantastic Sam's doing with training.
All right. When I signed up, one of the agreements was that I would attend a one-week training session to just get my feet wet, understand, go through some of the marketing ideas, the marketing manual, go through the operations manual. And there was a lot of kind of hands-on in the class where we would, work on advertisements, work on promotions, that type of thing. And so I attended that for a week just shortly before we opened our first salon. And I found it to be very helpful. There were some existing owners that participated from the company side, and then, of course, there were a lot of new franchisees from all over the country in the class. But really more so than that, that was a one-week experience. More so than that was the interaction with our region here in San Antonio. Pretty much everything I did early on, I would run through them. I would say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this type of an ad. What do you think? We're thinking about getting a banner and hanging it. What do you think? So it was really, I really probably got more of the, right on the spot help from the region, but I did have the opportunity to go through the corporate training, and I found both to be very helpful.
Hello?
Hello?
I thought you were up. Sorry, it looks like Don got disconnected.
I'm on, Marty.
You did, Don?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Liz. It sounds like you got disconnected. So, Rich, what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since owning a Fantastic Sam's franchise?
Well, the most interesting thing, I would say personally, the most interesting thing is several years ago, my wife and I were named Franchisees of the Year by the IFA. And
wow.
Got to go to their convention, and it was really, we were stunned. I mean, here we are sitting in San Antonio, and we don't know anything, and the next thing we know, we have gotten this award. And so that was probably the most stunning and maybe interesting single event. But I would say, over and above that, probably the most rewarding things that have happened to us in the business involve the people who work with us. We have seen some people grow enormously. They've created great careers for themselves. They've learned. They've been able to accomplish things for us that we probably wouldn't have thought were possible. And just seeing the personal growth of people who work for us has been very, very rewarding. And then as another thing that's been very rewarding in the business is we've had an opportunity to work with community organizations. We've done, right now we're doing Adopt the Highway, a couple of the salons, do that four times a year. We've worked with the Battered Women's Shelter. We've worked with a food bank. We've been able to do a lot of things in the community that have just been very rewarding for my wife and I, and as well as the employees.
It's quite an endorsement. I mean, to win the Franchisee of the Year, Rich. I mean, because there's a lot of, as you know, franchises out there. So, congratulations on that. I think that's fantastic. I guess the question is, is how did you do that? What did you do to get that honor? Because it's probably the highest of high honors in franchising, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were stunned. And I think as I read some of the things that, I mean, obviously we were nominated by a region and it went up to our corporate office and they, of course, put us in and everything. I think from what I could see, what maybe set us apart from other people was the community service, the community activities that we were doing. You know, we are not the most profitable franchisees by any stretch of the imagination. We're not the largest. We haven't been at it the longest. So you know, all the numbers wouldn't get us there. But what I think what was kind of, you know, intimated to us was that what set us apart was the community service, the activities that we did, you know, and we had a little advantage there, I should mention. Five of our salons are right in San Antonio proper. Three of them are in small towns outside of San Antonio. So in those small towns, we do have additional opportunities. In big city, you get lost a little bit. When you get in a small town, you can have a bigger impact. And so, you know, we've done cut-a-thons for cancer patients, and we've, as I said, we do Adopt the Highway. So we get people in the smaller towns know us, and, right. and we're important people in those small towns, probably more so than in the big city, even though we do things there. It just gets lost in everything everybody else is doing.
It must have been nice, too, Rich, winning it in your home city. The IFA show last year was in San Antonio, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was years ago. I think this was in like 2005, and we actually traveled to Fort Lauderdale, I think, for the convention. It was in Florida. I think it was just a little north of Miami. And but it was fun going to the convention. I mean, they had Rudy Giuliani speaking, and it was fabulous.
Right.
Again, I was stunned because it came out of nowhere. I didn't realize that we had been nominated. And at the time, a regional owner called me one day and wanted Lori and I to come over and chat with him. And, yeah, I thought, oh, God, what have we done now? And it was like he told us, and we were like, well, what's that? We didn't know we'd been nominated. We didn't know really what the award was, but it was great, and we had a chance when we were over there to sit in breakout sessions and meet a lot of other great franchisees from around the country who, you know, in their own systems were you know, just as important.
Right.
That's what's also nice about franchising, of course, Rich. You can talk to the other owners, maybe pick up some ideas, and realize, like I said before, it's, you know, you're all part of a team, all helping each other and everyone's success.
My background as a corporate executive was logistics. And so, you know, a lot of that background doesn't do me a lot of good in a salon. You know, we're not moving a bunch of freight. We're not, you know, we're not negotiating with steamship lines and stuff like that. We're just running salon. So, I don't have a background. You know, I'm not a marketing person. I'm not an advertising person. I wish I had more background in some of those disciplines, but I don't. But that doesn't mean I can't be successful as long as I follow the plan. And as you guys say, talk to other people. I mean, my ideas aren't any better than anybody else's, and in a lot of cases, they're not as good.
But right, so, Scott, seeing someone like Rich who's 100%, hey, I'm, you know, and admitting that don't have the marketing background, came from a completely different industry. It seems like Rich is perfect for the franchise type business where you get the training, ongoing support.
Sure.
I guess you want everybody to be able to have Rich's attitude and, hey, just follow the system, do what we tell you to do. You're probably going to be successful. I was going to talk to you about characteristics in a franchisee, but I guess Rich has a lot of those.
He does, and he's humble too, as you've heard, in terms of spreading the success of his salon, you know, along with his people as well. So, you know, that type of motivated, great people person, you know, but wants to control their own future. I worked in corporate America earlier in my career, as did Rich. And, you know, we were ultimately sick and tired of being yanked around by, you know, people in different parts of the country. And, you know, when we look at an entrepreneur, we're looking for those that want to balance their risk with reward. They want to control you know, the future. They want to be. We find that our successful operators are optimistic in their outlook, and also that they believe that they can solve any barrier that's thrown at them. So that's whether it's all of a sudden the shopping center goes under redevelopment, or whether the street is under situations where streets get ripped up by the city and so forth. And, you know, they can solve those things because we constantly work with the owners on their local store marketing and other events as well. You know, when we talked about charities, Fantastic Sam's does not do a national charity, but we do have other regional things that we do. We work with Children's Hospital in many of the locations. We do the Susan G. Komen walks in many of our locations. Mm-hmm. We collect hair for Locks of Love, you know, where they create the cancer wigs for cancer patients, and many other charities throughout the United States. And we encourage all of our owners and our region developers to participate in that as well.
I'm glad you brought that up. Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott Rich, we have about 20 seconds. What's the best way, Scott, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchise here? Are there any websites
There's two ways. Two ways. Okay. FantasticSamsFranchises.com and the consumer site, FantasticSams.com.
Fantastic. I want to thank both you gentlemen again. You've been fantastic guests, and we'd love to have you back in the near future.
Be happy to do that. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Marty. Absolutely.
Thank you, Scott and Rich.
Thanks so much
Scott,
for having us.
Great show.
Appreciate it. Keep up the good
Our
work.
Pleasure.
Great job, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
That was a great show, wasn't it, Don?
Yeah. I have to say, one of our better shows. It's, you know, we have the very person at the very top, and then you have a very successful franchisee who's, you're very happy to be part of the system. Was Franchisee of the Year a few years back. It was interesting hearing the story.
It's a great story. I mean, I love hearing stories like that. I mean, what an honor that is to, get that type of award, because, again, there's thousands and thousands of franchisees, and the question is, how do you do that, you seem like a perfect fit for this franchise opportunity.
And we've done a few shows, Marty, where we had the Franchisee of the Year, maybe that'll become our niche and specialty. Hey, we have Franchisees of the Year on our show.
Rich got that honor, yeah. So, as Kyle was saying, he's a very humble gentleman, Just great. Well, a really great show. And I apologize I was on the switchboard, Don. We were actually getting people typing in questions, and I didn't, unfortunately, get to them. So, still wondering where I was for like 10 seconds. So, go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to franchise.com, franchiseworldradio.com, Don, where you can hear all of our shows, and a radio station now just totally dedicated to franchising.
Just started recently. It's going to be big. We're very happy about that, and more listeners, more shows. That things are going well.
Absolutely. So good job, Don, in segment one, and thanks again for everyone listening. And we'll see you again next week. I think we got Monty Glitch next week, don't we?
Excited about that, right?
There you go. Great job, Don. Thanks everyone for listening. Take care.